Look, I believe in bipartisanship, but I have no illusions about this Republican Party, the MAGA Party. I've been able to bring some Republicans along on parts of my plan. But the fact is, Republicans in Congress are still in the grip of the ultra-MAGA agenda.
This is the news, according to me. Yes, good morning. It is morning. 7 o'clock. 7:05, actually. Turn that music down. It's Wednesday. 15th of June. We're halfway through this month. It's hump day for the month. Hump day? Oh, it's Wednesday, and it's the middle of the month. Isn't that interesting? So it's a double hump day. It's a two-camel day. Two-hump camel today. That's what it is. It's 7:05 Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday, June 15th, 2022, and this is the way it is. I'm going to tell you how it is, because that's just what I do. That's what I do here. I just tell you how it is. First, I have to push some buttons on my phone here, because I had to connect you know, to my phone to hear that little sound bite from JoJo. He's blaming his inability to get anything done, to fix the economy and do anything, get anything, you know, accomplished, because this ultra MAGA crowd has a grip on the Republicans. You know, you can go gargle some cement if you want to. This is the kind of rhetoric. Dude, you own the House, you own the Senate, and you have the presidency. You completely own whatever situation we are in right now. No more blaming it on the guy that came before you. No more blaming it on Putin, which is a direct result of our foreign policy, in my opinion. It's a direct. I believe the war in Ukraine and Putin's. If Putin would have thought, I don't think his opinion of Ukraine changed since Trump has been in office. If he could have invaded Ukraine during Trump's presidency, he would have. He didn't. China was being provocative with Taiwan, but they weren't making the statements they are now. Our energy situation, when we were leading the world in energy, when we became a net exporter of energy, we had no entanglements anywhere else. We didn't have to go around begging other countries like subservient serfs of some kind can you please change the production of oil over here? Because, you know, we're going to go completely green over here. We're going to go solar panel and wind power. Because, you know, and we're gonna eat bugs, and we're gonna have algae. Algae is gonna be our fuel. Algae, yeah, algae. Which brings me to what's in my cup. It's not a cup of algae. That much I do know. But I think I would almost rather drink. I don't know. This is Oregon. It's supposed to be vanilla chai. It's. Oregon just has too much spice to it. I just, anything that says Oregon chai on it, if it comes to chai and it says Oregon on it, I like Oregon. It's a nice state. I don't know the politics there. That's one thing, but the state itself is gorgeous. It's nice. It's a very beautiful state. However, I don't like your chai. So Oregon, take your chai. You just keep it in Oregon. Stop exporting your chai from Oregon, because it's no good. I don't like it. It's the only way you can get it made is to put a bunch of spice. Apparently somebody accidentally dumped a bunch of spices in the chai there, and it's just, it ain't cutting it with me. That's what I'm drinking this morning, 'cause that's all I have. So that's where I'm at. And you know me, I don't want to miss an opportunity to complain about something. So that's where I'm at. And I also have a backup cup of water. Ice cold water. because it just helps to wash those spices down. We're having a heat wave here. I don't know how you guys are feeling. I suppose the rest of the country's, you know, just in blistering cold because, you know, it's climate change. We're actually having some days. They're talking today like it might get up over 100 degrees here, which is very rare. Last time we had this kind of weather was back in I believe it was in the 90s. 1990s, I'm talking. I think it was around 92. 91, 92, something like that. Maybe it was before that or after that. It had to have been after 89 because I know where I was living at the time. Well, actually, it had been in 90 because it would have been sometime early 90 probably. And it got over 100 degrees. That's the last time I remember being home when it happened. It's probably happened before and I was someplace else because I do travel quite a bit. I've been a rambling man most of my life. R-A-M-B-L-E, Ramblin' Man. Those of you who grew up in the 70s would remember Steve. What's his name? That's good. Yeah, it's kind of concerning me that I can't remember this guy's name. Steve, I was a big fan of his. I had all of his albums memorized. He was a comedian. And now this just bothers me because I'm kind of concerned about my brain. Comedians who died. I just typed in comedian and it came up with comedians who died. Steve Martin. Why would I not know his name? I kept thinking Steve Wright, and I knew that wasn't right. Stephen Wright. This guy is Stephen Wright. In fact, I think is more of a genius. In fact, than Steve Martin. Stephen Alexander Wright. I don't know what he's doing these days. I don't think he's even out there on the thing anymore. He is. He's got to be, he's pushing 70 now, I think. He's 60, in his upper 60s. Not sure what he's doing anymore right now, but he looks like he might still be out there doing some comedy stuff. Because there's an old man in a hat. It looks like he's an old man doing something stand up there wise. But in my opinion, he's brilliant. I don't think about his politics or anything. He's always been, at least in his act before, he was always pretty, he was just funny. You know, he didn't have anything that was political. George Carlin had some weird philosophical ideas. Now, George Carlin was also an atheist, which I actually get along with atheists better than some people who are supposedly believers sometimes. With an atheist, at least if they're a thoughtful, deliberate, more of an agnostic, I can have a discussion. I can usually have a discussion with those people. A true atheist who is what I call a militant leftist type atheist, not necessarily even a leftist, just a militant atheist. They're not an agnostic. They're not being thoughtfully considerate. They're just being anti-Christian is what they are. There's a difference. A true agnostic or an atheist that has had some thoughtful, is going through a thoughtful process will respect those who have religious beliefs. At least that's been my experience. But then you have the belligerent ones who are simply anti-religion and anti-God and anti-people who believe in God. That's a very different motivation. And unfortunately, I have a tendency to see Christians just lump them all in the same box. I love having the discussions with people who are struggling with. Basically, the basic definition of an agnostic is they don't know if there is a God, and they don't know if there's a way to know if there's a God. If you can come to the table and reason with me and have a discussion, I love that. God even says that in Scripture. He's come, let us reason. He wants to have an engagement. He wants to have a discussion. Recently talking to, the one thing that you can do worse than being mad at God is ignoring God. If you're a father, I was recently told this by someone who has a son who's going through some issues, and they've had some, those years, when he's trying to develop his independence and he's not doing too well with it and won't take advice from dad and won't take advice from anybody. He just kind of thinks he's got to do it on his own. He's got to figure this out because nobody else before him has ever figured this out. So he's gonna find his own way. And somehow he's going to do it better than anybody else because nobody's done it like him. He's not going to take any advice from his elders because what do they know? They're just living in the past, man. So he said the one thing that hurts him more than anything is when his son walks past him, doesn't even acknowledge him, just walks by, ignores him. If his son is mad at him, he'd rather have his son face him and share his anger. No, not a belligerent or disrespectful or violent way, but just to have that engagement. Let's work it out. He'd rather have that because that's a priority. He'd rather have that than just to be ignored. And I think that's the way some people are with, I think that that God would rather have us engage with whatever we're going through. Anyway, that's my devotional for you for this morning. There you go. Here, some time in the Word. A word from the news according to me. So this whole thing with Joe, there's just so much dysfunction in this administration. I don't know if anybody's just stepped back and said, "Hey, look at how this administration." They were all over the place with Trump and his administration. Oh, this person's getting fired, and that person. It's just chaos up there. All we heard about from MSNBC was how much chaos was going on within the administration. It's just crazy up there. Oh, everybody's mad. Everybody's getting fired. They were just making this stuff up. There was one point, and this is, I don't know if they think that we just can't do math. It was like 100 days into the administration, and we were told by Brian Stelter on, reliable sources, that so far the president, since he's been in office, has lied, I think, what was it? Was it 6,000 times or something ridiculous like that? We've counted 6,347 lies that he's told. And if you did the math, whatever number the numbers were, I did the math at one point. I don't remember what they were. But I do remember what the number that I came up with. That means he lied 7 times every day for every day he was in office. Whatever it was, it was 7 times per day for every day he was in office. Now, if somebody tells a lie, the same lie 7 times in a day, do you say they lied 7 times today, or do you just say they're telling a lie? Now, think about this and how Joe Biden and everything this administration has said has always been the opposite of what they've said. Yes, it's not going to be transitory. inflation, and we're not going to see anything more than that. Janet Yellen, she's yelling at us right now about the inflation. At least she came out and admitted she was wrong. But it's her job to understand, well, no one saw this coming. Like, what? Hello? It's your job to see it coming. That's your job. Your job is to understand and analyze and see the trends and understand what's going on. You got people around you. You got a staff. You've got analytics people. You got computers. You got supercomputers. You got access to everything the country has to tell us whether or not the economic situation is going to get bad. You know, you should know whether or not there's going to be a lumber shortage or a baby formula shortage or a milk shortage or anything else out there that's going on. Now, what is going on with this food thing? There are processing plants all over the country every week catching on fire, having major shutdowns, airplanes crashing into them, things catching on fire. It's unbelievable. And now we got this pork thing. I don't know what was going on with that, but something shut down out in California. And we're talking about burning more corn. Now, Tucker's been all over this as well. And I'm not so big on the corn thing. I just, here's my take on the corn thing. Most corn, a lot of corn, is turned into high fructose corn syrup, which is put into our food. And now, I'm not saying that corn is bad. I'm saying what they make with the corn is not so good for us. Now, beans and all that kind of stuff, some of those kinds of things that we need corn, we need beans, we need wheat, we need all this stuff. However, you know, there are people who are, you know, have gluten issues, and there always have been. Seems to be on the rise now, although I'm not sure what that's all about, whether or not we're just discovering more about it or just what it is. But it's almost as if they're trying to create a food shortage here. I know for a fact that they like high gas prices. What they don't understand is what goes along with high gas prices. These people are so disconnected. They think that gas in and of itself lives in a bubble, and just because the gas prices go high, that people are still going to keep buying it, but they're going to be forced or pushed or shoved off into renewables and clean energy and electric cars. And that's the only way we're going to do this, is to force it on people and make it happen by getting high gas prices. That way people are uncomfortable and they say, oh, maybe we should buy an electric car. Yeah, with all the money, we can't afford to put gas in our tank, but we're going to go buy an electric car. Now, people do, they do have a tendency to think, well, maybe electric's the way to go. They're tired of this gas thing. That brings on a whole other set of issues and problems and stuff. Now, first of all, the whole thing, let's back up here just a second and talk about this whole green energy thing. What is the big reason, the big motivation? Is it just because fossil fuels are evil? We seem to think so. And why is that? Well, it's because they have carbon emissions. Now, excuse me. I know that back in the 90s, we were told, actually, beginning 2000s, we were told the science is settled. It's carbon dioxide that is causing the carbon emissions are causing all of this greenhouse effect stuff going on. This is not science, folks. This is pseudo science that has absolutely no basis in science. There are some real serious issues with this idea that carbon emissions are causing greenhouse effect, which would be global warming. Now, when you talk about, well, but the Earth is cooling. Well, that's because it's global. It's climate change, not global warming. Well, which is, and what's carbon have to do with climate change? How is that changing anything? If it can get cold and get hot, and we have these 11-year cycles that are very easy to see over the past 200 years, Then what is it exactly that you're talking about? Well, the climate's changing. Yeah, well, the climate has always changed. And we don't even know what normal is. You're saying that the Earth is 2 billion years old. I'd say it's been changing a lot over the last 2 billion years, and we're just in a little bit of it here. Where what, every day is supposed to be 75 degrees, and the next day is supposed to be 76 degrees, and then when we get back into fall, it's supposed to be 74 degrees again, and then 72. And so, every day supposed to be incrementally normal? It doesn't happen that way. The idea that man is having an effect on the climate is still, in my opinion, it's still debatable. But we can't have that debate because people say you're crazy if you say that. Oh, yeah, of course there is. Humans, yeah, of course they are. You're walking, been into a city, go into a city when it's, you know, on a hot day, it's just so hot there, and you go outside, out to the country, it's 2 degrees less. Well, okay, you realize that the entire population of the United, of the world standing up wouldn't even fill the state of Texas. Let's get some perspective here on how many humans there are and how big this country, this world is, the country as well. There are 300 million people in this country alone, on this contiguous United States. There are 300 million people as far as we know. So we've been told. And we've also been, you know, we also know that there are about a little less than, well, about around 30 million people on the continent in the country of Australia. The island. Guess what? Guess how big Australia is? About the size of the contiguous United States. They've got room for another 270 million people before they even get close to what we're at, where we're at here. Now, a lot of it's uninhabitable, in my opinion. It's just desert. That's why everybody lives around the coast. But nonetheless, that's how much space there is there. And there are ways to live in the desert. Actually, there are plenty of ways that they could be fixing up their infrastructure. Look at Saudi Arabia, places like that are deserts basically there, and they're living there. They're making them blossom because of the technology that they have available now. If they wanted to, they could make it work. And this is, so this idea that there are so many humans out there that we're affecting the global weather patterns is, you know, when one day the sun can send a flare that can outdo anything that humans do. But they're using this as a method, as they do with most things, to scare. The world's going to end in 12 years. And I have leftists. I have some leftist friends who have said, it just seems like the Republicans, all they do is try to scare everybody. They're trying to, the only scaring that they've been doing is to tell us what the leftists are doing. That's when the Republicans, this is what her point was. Her point was that, oh, the Republicans just talk about how terrible it's going to be if the Democrats take over. Well, yeah. Uh-huh. What do you see that's so great about it right now? This is what they were trying to scare us about. And then they turn around and say things like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't turn this around. Well, that's not fear-mongering. And I get tired of the leftists, even people on the right. I hear this all the time from on both sides of the aisle. They will make statements like, the American people want this, or the American people want that, or the people that are, you know, whatever. They like to make statements about what we all think, but putting words in our mouth, whatever. American people are scared. They're afraid. Oh, are we? apparently you haven't got a clue with anybody from the American people that I know. I get tired of them telling us how we feel. You hear the sound bites of some politician saying, well, the American people are scared. Oh, we're supposed to be scared. I guess everybody around me is scared. Oh, we're scared. I guess I should be scared too. This is the way they'd like to have it. They'd like to just be able to, when they say, well, this is just going to be a short, just a blip. It's just going to pop up. This inflation is just going to pop up and it's going to ride back down. Well, that was before the war. Although now we've got the war. This is Putin's tax. This is the Putin tax. Folks, I got to tell you, this one company I work for has given me a significant raise. I think it's like almost 12%, I think, this year. Gave me a 12% raise this year. It means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because inflation, the real world inflation, just the cost of fuel and everything else, has gotten so ridiculous, it's eaten up everything that any kind of raise I've got. It's barely keeping up. Now, I was getting a 2% cost of living raise, which was the normal kind of the average normal inflation rate, which is also, again, this is inflation is a tax on the stupid. Lottery tickets are a tax on the It's a tax on the even stupider. We sit back and allow this to continue, and it's the Fed's making. The Fed likes to have a little bit of inflation. They'll tell you, well, you need a little inflation because it makes your investments go up. Makes your investments go up. I would rather have my money in the bank and have it maintain its value. Or, you know, get a little bit of interest off of the bank being able to use it to loan out to other people. I don't want to put my money in the bank and have it depreciate. See, they don't want you to have your money in the bank. They want you to keep spending it because that's how they get tax revenue. Sales tax, all kinds of other taxes that happen. Joe Biden comes out and makes this claim. There's another soundbite I wanted to actually play for you, but I'm not going to because I didn't have time to put it together this morning. He comes out and makes this claim. He's talking, I think, to a union, AFL-CIO or whatever. I don't know what it is. Anyway, he comes out and says something about until the richest people in this country start paying their fair share in taxes. And, of course, he gets this big, he knows the crowd he's playing to here, or I should say his speechwriters do. And they come out with this statement, they need to pay their fair share. Anybody who thinks that the tax system is fair, raise your hand. Well, I wouldn't raise my hand. I don't think it's fair, but not for the reasons he's stating. See, this is a setup question here when you do something like that. What he should have said is, how many of you think that your taxes that you're paying are fair? That's what he should have asked. Nobody would raise their hand. Now, there's a few wackos out there who think that this is the issue right here. We've got the whole basis of income tax is still a very debatable issue. Everybody think, oh, you have to pay tax, death and taxes. You got to pay death and taxes. You need to pay taxes that are legally paid, legally obligated to pay. Yes. When you start digging into the law behind income tax, you'll find out that this whole thing is built on a tax law structure that is only set up for those who are constitutionally, legally, only for the sale, distribution, manufacturing of alcohol, tobacco, or firearms. Do you manufacture, sell, or do transit with any of those items? If the answer is no, then you owe no income tax. That's that the tax code is based on that. When you follow it up the chain to find out exactly what this whole income tax thing is based on. Now, there are some other taxes that are legal, things to do with bookbinding and some other things or some other weird stuff out there. But the general overall income tax that we are all being forced to pay by color of law, by force, it's not it's voluntary, but it's not voluntary. You don't pay it. They come with a gun and take you away. Take your stuff. It's voluntary compliance. In other words, they don't come to your house and force you to sign the paperwork and all that stuff. But if you don't pay it, there, here they come. Now, I know this because I delved into this deeply back in the late 90s and early 2000. Late 90s mostly, and more in the mid 90s, I guess it was. Discovered a lot of interesting things about the tax code at that point. And there was an individual who used to be in law enforcement who he understood how the tax law works, or how law works, and he went back and followed this stuff all down. He put the whole hypothesis together, and it was true. Now, he went off the deep end and got into something else about the banking system and how it was a fraud as well, and so he tried to do some stuff and ended up in prison because of it. And in fact, I think Daniel Washington, is that his name? I think he actually got involved in it as well. He almost got put in prison. He had lawyers going after him for a while, the prosecutors. Got into a little bit of a legal issue there. anyway, enough said about that. Liz Cheney and this whole J6 committee is starting to unravel. And I even heard Michael Knowles talk about this a little bit. He was talking about how, you know, they have to be very careful. I keep hearing people say that they're not going to forget. Oh, I'm not going to forget about Afghanistan. I'm not going to forget about this. I'm not going to forget about that. Well, the fact of the matter, you might not. And Republicans the conservatives have a tendency to remember stuff. The general people, the general populace, the independents, the people on the left, they do not remember stuff more than about 2 weeks. So the way this works is they wanted this January 6th commission to be in place right about now so that indictments could come out, the process could move forward, we could get the perp walks around, somewhere around August, September, maybe even into October, this whole thing could be fiery and going all over the place. And that way we could put this whole thing inject it into the November elections. This is, make no mistake, everything they're doing right now is all about the elections right now. Now I'm hearing my dogs barking, and I'm not sure exactly what's going on up there. I have a feeling the cat is terrorizing them because it sounds like there's a whole lot of things happening up there. Kind of sounds a little bit like chairs falling down. Yeah, not sure what's going on out there. I'm not going to worry about it. They're going to be okay. I'm sure. They're just playing. They're just having fun. So this whole thing had to be timed just right to be you know, the October surprise, to be the thing that sticks in the craw. Now, Liz Cheney is discovering, as I think some other Republicans have in the past, you can't nestle and cuddle with the vipers and get their accolades, the adoring, the flowers that they throw at your feet. Oh, you're a sensible Republican. You're a wonderful Republican. Oh, look at you. You're coming over to our side, and you're being sensible and reasonable. And if more Republicans were like you, we'd all be unified. You see, when they talk about unity, Joe Biden talked about unity when he first got elected. He said, "I'm gonna bring the country back together." Well, sure. If you agree with Joe, if you come over to the left side and agree with all their stuff, then we'll have unity. If you disagree, you're ultra MAGA and you're a problem and you need to be in prison. He literally has said things like this, folks. Need to put some people in prison. I have, you know, sometimes these people, they'll say some things that, you know, it just makes you want to pop them. No, I'm serious. He'll say things like that. No, I really mean it. No joke. All these little things he says after he makes a statement, he's making a definitive statement when he says these things. He's not joking. He really means it. He's saying these things. He's not mincing words. He's not misspeaking. He's emphasizing it with an exclamation point by saying, I'm not messing around. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. And yet, he gets away with stuff like that. I'm going to pop him. Makes you want to pop him. What? What are you talking about? If Donald Trump would have said something like that, all you have to do is put this stuff in their face. Well, then they start freaking out. Oh no, no, you know you got to, oh whatever. So this whole January 6th thing, Benny, what's his name? The head of the committee. See, now they made Liz Cheney the co-chair. So she could sit up there with the chair and be the good example as long as she falls in line. Now, I believe Benny understands and realizes, hey, we don't actually have any prosecutorial power here. They came out and asked him, did Donald Trump commit any crimes and are you going to submit a recommendation for indictment? First of all, he didn't answer the first question. He went right over that. He didn't say whether or not Donald Trump committed any crimes. He went right to the whole thing of, well, we're going to put together our report and we're going to all we can do is send it over to. That's not our job. We're not going to be bringing any indictments. Here's the major problem they've got here. And Merrick Garland doesn't care. The current DOJ doesn't care about the law right now. All they care about is getting Donald Trump. They know that this is a political leftist organization now. They are the strong arm of the Democrat Party right now. And we have, they'll do whatever they want to do. We're going to go ahead and indict him. And of course, the Supreme Court is just going to sit back and go, well, we're not going to touch it. It's politics. We're not going to touch it. They're not going to be, again, they're not going to be happy until they perp walk Donald Trump. And they're not going to be happy with anybody who gets in their way. The problem that they have right now is Liz Cheney had this major witness. And of course, now we're being told now by Adam Schiff, who has all the credibility in the world, by the way. He was, you know, for how many years did he tell us that Donald Trump, obviously, he committed the evidence is all in plain sight. It's right there for us to see. Donald Trump colluded with Russia. It's right there. Where exactly? We had a Mueller investigation, spent $40 million and said that Donald Trump and his family didn't do anything wrong. Oh, it's right there. It's right there. The evidence is all right there. Well, apparently Mueller, you must have told, you forgot to tell Mueller. Whatever evidence you got, you didn't tell Mueller because he came out and said nothing about that. The Mueller investigation was a big womp womp. It was a big, huge flop. Nothing came out of that. Well, we found 12 Russian agents that were trying to hack into machines. Okay, where are they? What are their names? What are you going to do about it? And what does that have to do with Donald Trump? But people still believe that Donald Trump colluded with Russia. So they still believe that on the left because they're still saying that on MSNBC and CNN. Now, so they come out with this stuff. They're saying that they have no criminal, they're not going to bring any criminal charges. Well, now Liz Cheney speaks up and says, oh, you're not speaking for the committee. He's the committee chairman. Liz Cheney's kind of freaking out about this. She had this big witness that she was going to bring out. I think it was yesterday or day before. I think it was day before. It must have been the day before yesterday. What is today? This is Wednesday. It's Tuesday. Might have been Sunday or Monday. On this primetime event, the person canceled. They're not going to come before the committee. Are they going to arrest him? Are they being subpoenaed? Their star witness that supposedly they had is now not coming out. Now they're having some arguments about when they're going to have the next hearing. I think Cheney was saying it's supposed to be this Thursday, and Swalwell saying it's supposed to be next Thursday, because they've got a lot to do. No, I think it's supposed to be next Thursday, actually, because they've got a lot to do. They've got a lot of production to do. There's just so much information to go through. In other words, they're scrambling, trying to put this circus together to the point where they can make it look like something that's going to look bad for Donald Trump. Make no mistake, that's what this is all about. Well, if they have no prosecutorial power, how were they able to get Navarro and Bannon and the other guy? It's kind of like the three tenors. You know, it's like, you know, one of them. Who's the other guy? And then they got them arrested because they were in contempt of Congress for not being called on a subpoena. And their biggest argument, Navarro's biggest argument, is the whole committee is illegal, and which it is. They need to keep hammering on it. And I don't know if there's a lawyer behind the scenes who's going after them on this, because that might be why they're backing down. Article 503, the one that they're basically talking about this being based on, it says the committee shall do these. In other words, the committee must do these things. There's two ways you can word things in legal speak. One is you shall do this, or it might say you may do this. You may means you have the option. When it says you shall do this, it means you have to do it this way. One of the things that it says on there is that they have to have a certain number of people on the committee. I believe it's 13, and they must have 13. It says they shall have 13, and they shall have five of the minority party. And those are selected by the party chair. In other words, the minority party chair. I wonder if I can pull this up and actually read it. It's only been read to me. I haven't ever actually looked at the document. I don't know if I can find the document. Let's see if I can find it here. If you read this, so the whole thing. Where is it at? Let's see if that'll pull it up. May not. I don't know what it's going to do here. House Resolution 503, 117th Congress, 2021-22, establishing the Select Committee. Yeah, there's very, very clear rules here. Let's see if I can find it here. Oh, it's going to take me to a place where I have to. This resolution establishes in the House of Representatives the Select Committee to investigate the January 6th. Oh, this is just talking about this actual Select Committee that they did. Yeah, this is not what I wanted it to be. Let's see here. And they're not giving, this is all about January 6th. House resolution establishing the Select Committee to investigate. It's not talking about the bill itself. It's talking about all this. Yeah, I probably had to dig through a bunch of stuff because this is all about January 6th. It's not about how the rules are set up for the Select Committee or the Resolution 503. There's very clear rules on how this committee is supposed to be set up, and they broke them. It is not set up the way it's supposed to be, which makes it unconstitutional. It makes it completely outside the law. And yet they're acting as if they are the law. Now, Benny, the chairman, apparently realizes this at some point and decides they're not going to push anything. They may not have to. All they had to do was send over a letter of request of a subpoena, of a violation, if someone was in contempt. And the DOJ, Merrick Garland, sends agents out to pick up Peter Navarro at the airport. Merrick Garland loves Donald Trump. He just loves him. I'm sure he would never do anything to subvert the rule of law, like, you know, like calling parents at a school board meeting terrorists, using terrorist tactics, terrorist investigation tactics, to go after parents at a school board meeting. He would never do something like that. He's an upright and just man, understands the rule of law and the rights that people have in this country. He would never violate those. He would never put on some fake show The guy who really, Tucker Carlson actually made a really interesting comment. I just want to throw this in here about Joe, his chief of staff. Let's find out if I can find that. At least I can find something today on the search here. I should have segments called the search, the headlines, whatever they're going to be. Biden administration cabinet and his chief of staff. Let's see if I can find his chief of staff here. Biden chief of staff. First, what is the guy's name? Cabinet's roles, secretary. It doesn't even talk about chief of staff on here. Doesn't even have it on here. 15 executive departments, the secretary of agriculture, commerce, Mr. Biden's cabinet reflects the pledge of the government. Secretary of State is Anthony Blinken and Janet Yellen, Lloyd Austin, Merrick Garland, Secretary of Interior, Secretary of Agriculture, Commerce, Labor, Human Services, Urban Development, Transportation, Energy, Education, trade representative, ambassador. Oh, these people are, yeah, this is great. Chief of Staff, here it is. Ron Klain. Chief of Staff, Ron Klain. This guy, I would say probably has, boy, you know, some of these names are kind of popping out to me. Let me just say, this administration is absolutely off the rails. No wonder we are having such problems. I'm seeing some of these names here. And I know that they're tied to some other things that are going on. And some of the people, like Isabel Guzman, she's the administrator of Small Business Administration. And Shalonda Young. I'm pretty sure both of those, management and budget. Wow. Yeah, no wonder we've got some issues here. Yeah, this is, we have problems. I've never noticed this before. Why have I never noticed this before? I keep seeing these people paraded around in front of us, but it's, now that I'm looking at this, the lineup of people here, this is ridiculous. Everyone from Harris, Blinken, Yellen, Austin, Garland, Helen. Yeah, this is all a mess. And then you got at the top of the chart, you got the guy running the show, Ron Klain. Ron Klain hardly ever he's very shadowy. He doesn't come out and talk very much. But it was interesting that Tucker made a comment about him and said he's kind of the shadowy figure behind this whole thing running the show. He actually is the one running the show. Now, whether or not he's making all the calls or not, he's implementing whoever it is that's telling him what to do. He's implementing everybody. He's running, telling everybody else what to do. So he's getting orders from somebody, and he's making sure all these minions follow up with all the carry out the orders. I have some speculation of who is probably behind all this, and it's not just one person, by the way. But nonetheless, this is why we are in the mess we're in my opinion. This is right off of whitehouse.gov administration/cabinet. It's www.whitehouse.gov/administration/cabinet/. If you want to go and look at this page. That being said, let's get back to the January 6th thing. So here's what's going on with Liz Cheney. So we have this issue. Liz has an issue out here. I think she's in Arizona, right? I think she's in Arizona. Arizona or Nevada? I think it's Arizona. Well, let's find out. I don't want to get this wrong. I think Liz Cheney. Congresswoman. Let's see what she's Congress Liz Cheney. Wyoming. She's Wyoming. That's right. It's Wyoming. That's where her dad was from, I think. Liz Cheney from Wyoming. apparently is having trouble in her state. She's now down, like, she's like 28% in the polls. Her rival who's trying to primary her is like in the 60% range. This is a problem for Liz. Now, what Liz has done is, you know, of course she's got all these buddies now and on the left, right? She's got all these friends of hers. And she's made all these inroads and made she's a moderate now because she's been elbowing with all these leftists who hate Trump, are all unified by their hatred for Trump. Well, see, that's only part of the equation, Liz. They're using you. You don't understand how they're using you in this process. You have become one of the useful idiots. You and Kinzinger and Romney. They're even stroking her ego, saying, "You should run for president. You should. We know you'd be a good candidate for president." And I guarantee you, if she ran for president, they'd put their person up there, and then they would have nothing but vitriol for her. She would be the worst person on the planet. They would even come out and say, "Well, she came out against Benny when Benny made these suggestions, and he's a black man, and she came out against him in this cabinet decision, this committee decision, because she's racist." That's what it would be. She would be just as bad as Donald Trump. They think that they're taking some kind of higher moral high ground, because if you hate Donald Trump, that means you're morally, you know, superior to Donald Trump, and you're so appalled by the man. That must make you better because you have this disdain for Donald Trump. So therefore, that makes you a better person because you're morally higher standards than him. Obviously, you know, you're obviously a better person because the monster who is, you know, Donald Trump. So we have this issue. That's the big issue right here. That's the biggest problem right now, I think, with the whole thing right there. It's right there. Anyway. So she comes out with this, comes up with this issue. I guess one of the people who was working on the campaign manager of somebody's campaign manager who's on the left, she has asked for their help in winning the primary and getting things turned around. They will not even talk to her. She's getting no help from the left on her campaign. She's asking the left for help with her campaign. This is the way I understand it. This is the report I heard yesterday. She's looking for help and she's not getting any. That's interesting. They want her to run for president, but they don't want her to win her district seat. And by the way, the person who's winning handily, bigly, is endorsed by Donald Trump. Now, Donald hasn't won them all. All of his endorsements haven't made it. I don't think endorsements make that big of a difference. However, some of the areas where Donald has endorsed some of these candidates are some of the areas that had the biggest shenanigans going on, if you want to call them that, during the election. So it kind of makes you wonder about that a little bit again. Now, I'm going to watch 2,000 Mules later today. It is supposed to, it's supposed to be over 100 degrees here, and I'm not going to go out and play outside today. I might not do much of anything outside today. But in the process of all this, I'm going to determine whether or not I will watch 2,000 Mules. And if I do watch 2,000 Mules, guess what? I'm probably going to be mad the rest of the day. So I don't know. I may have a special report on tonight. There's always that possibility I might get on here in the evening. Now, today, I really don't have... I've got plenty to do, don't get me wrong. I got a lot to do. But I don't have anything on the agenda that has to be done today. And some things are just not going to happen because it is just too hot to go outside and work. And I could, but it's ridiculous. Nothing like walking out there and 5 minutes later you're just covered in sweat. We have a very humid heat here. It's miserable. So I may not be doing much with that. I might be doing most of my work inside the house today. Which I have plenty of that to do, too. But that's a whole other story. So in the process of all this, so now Liz Cheney now is starting to wonder what in the heck's going on. People, you know, people on the left who were her buddies and they were applauding her and they were accepting her. And she was able to talk on MSNBC and CNN all the time because they were parading her around as this. Look at this. We have a Republican here. Look at the Republican. We've got a Republican who's even saying that this is unimpeachable. They said they use the word unimpeachable Republican. No, she's impeachable. Everybody's impeachable. She's lost all credibility, as has Kinzinger as well. And she's going to lose. They've been parading her around as this fine example and letting her talk this whole time because she's saying the things they want her to say. As soon as they're done with her, they'll throw her aside and she'd be another horrible person again. This is the way this works. This is the way the leftists treat you. Because the end justifies the means. They don't care who they use, who they step on. So she's in a little bit of a tizzy right now. Lizzie is in a tizzy because of what's going on here. And they can't get their act together. They can't figure out what they're going to do now because they've lost this one major, huge witness that now will not come forward that they've been banking on this whole time. And now you've got Benny saying there's not going to be any criminal indictments. Something weird is going on behind the scenes here, folks. How long have they been working on this? And all of a sudden, they can't put their show on for, 5 days in a row because they don't have their act together? They've been making ridiculous amounts of money, by the way, during this whole process. I think they've been making an additional on top of their regular salary. It's like $4,000 a week additional, every single one of them on the committee. I think it's like $4,000 or $5,000 a day. $4,000 a week, I think. I don't know what it is. Some ridiculous amount of money. Just to be on the committee, let alone their expense accounts. That's what they don't tell you is they get this expense account thing. There's all kinds of other perks besides what they actually make on their paycheck. Because they get a staff and they get all this other stuff and they have a budget. They can overrun that by a certain percentage and it's ridiculous. But I digress. So we have a lot going on right now with everything that's going on. And in the meantime, we're all out here paying more for our gas, paying more for food. What they don't seem to understand on the left is that everything is tied to the price of fuel. I was thinking about going boating this weekend. Couldn't find a place to put our dogs because our kennel that we really like this one kennel. And if we can't put them in there. I don't like putting them anywhere else. And in order to be on the boat, we have to have the dogs in the kennel. They're just no good on the boat. And the other option is we can go camping. Well, going camping requires fuel because we got to, run the motor home. And diesel's up there around, $6 a gallon. And I'm willing to pay that to go, go camping with the dogs for the weekend. At least one night. Do something. Get away. Do a little driving around. Tooling around. Get away. But, with all that being said, guess what? The campgrounds were extremely full. Now, what I'm finding out, I just talked to a fellow the other day, yesterday actually, in fact, who went camping last weekend. He said the campground was very thin because people aren't camping because guess what? Gas prices are high. This starts the whole RV thing really quick. That slows down real fast. A big chunk of our economy, a big chunk of our labor force here in Indiana, at least, is in the RV business, at least northern Indiana. It's a rather large part of it is based on RV sales. Now, they're still pushing them out because a lot of dealers paid for them around the country, but the orders are going to stop and the orders are going to get canceled. And there's going to be a whole lot of RVs sitting around here in parking lots that are not moving. This is not good. This is going to make the used market drop out through the bottom. But there was a short period of time there where the used market during COVID was just, you couldn't buy one. You couldn't buy, they were all being sold faster than fast. People were just buying. I should have sold mine during that time, actually. No more than I've used mine during this whole thing. And because no more than I paid for mine, I would have probably tripled my what I put into it. But at the same time, you have a situation here with the fuel prices, because it makes everything go up. Truckers are talking about parking their trucks because they can't afford to run them right now. There's no way to just up their contracts and their changes in their price of their service. Now, see, the little business I've got, it's very, very, very easy for me to just name a price and up my prices. It's very easy for me to do that. I don't have overhead. I don't have any kind of, in fact, the only overhead I have has not changed in the last 3 years. It's been exactly the same. In fact, I've got a way of reducing it this year that will save me quite a bit, actually, about 20%. But I can raise my prices, because, and I've noticed that prices are going up. Content demand is going up, which just makes my services more valuable. And at the same time that artists are going down, I mean, the supply has actually gone down. And what I do, there are fewer people doing it now than there were 2 years ago, believe it or not. The demand is extremely high, and there's not a suitable workforce picking it up. At least not a skilled workforce picking it up, which just makes me more valuable. And that means I can start to raise my prices on a whim. I can just start quoting, you know, I give quotes on every job, and I can start quoting higher prices. It's fine with me if I don't get the work, but when I do get the work, I get paid for it. So it's one of those things where I can still fill my schedule with things that I'm busy doing. Now I can get to a point where I price myself ridiculously out of the market and I never get any work. But that one big job, Steve Martin used to, speaking of Steve, I was reminded of him the other day because I was heading down to Atlanta and I was waiting for my bag on the jet bridge. And this guy next to me, he was talking to his wife. He says, "Here, just stand right here and get really small so people can walk by." Getting small is one of the things that, it's one of the things that Steve Martin used to talk about. I think it had to do with a joke thing. He had this joke thing when he was doing the stand-up thing before he actually became very popular at all. He's kind of, you know, people would talk about getting high, and he would talk about, well, I'm going to get low, and then I'm going to get left or right, small, big, and small. I think he got this whole thing. He started talking about getting small. And it was some kind of an inside joke. And he would tell this thing, and it became funny, even people who didn't know the joke, because the way he would do it. And so when he said that, it just reminded me of Steve Martin, which is why I was kind of thinking about him earlier. And I don't even know why I was off on that tangent there, but this whole thing of getting small. So, but Steve Martin had this joke back in the day, and I can't remember what joke it was I was talking about. I've got myself in such a off in la la land here. But so there you go. I used to have a way with words. Or, you know, some people have a way with words, but other people, I don't know, not have way. So I have. I have to end the show because it's been long enough now. I'm sure you're just about done with me. So it's a full hour of content on this show is like 3 hours on some shows, like, you know, that have all the advertisements and stuff. I'm sure that some of you probably, you know what I'm talking about. Every 10 minutes they're doing advertisements and they come back and talk about what they were talking about to give you to rewarm you up with the stuff they were talking about, and they have about 3 minutes worth of content, and they start talking about what they're going to talk about next, and they come back and tell you about what they talked about for the first part of the show, and then they have an advertisement that's live that they'll read some kind of advertisement. It sounds like it's the show, but it's not. It's still an advertisement, and then they come back and it's, yeah, I don't do that, by the way. I just blabber on about nothing the whole time, which probably is more helpful than all the advertisements. I don't know, maybe not, I don't know. I do appreciate you listening, folks. I do appreciate you listening to me blabber on about nothing for endless hours and hours and hours. I do appreciate that. I appreciate you liking, sharing, subscribing, whatever you're doing out there. I don't know. Make sure you leave a like. I don't know. I don't even know where you can leave a like. I'm not sure if there's a place to leave a like on the thing, place where you're listening to this. I'm not sure if there's even a place to do that. But if you can, do it. Or just don't. That's up to you. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what I'd like for you to do. But I'd like for you to do whatever you want to do. That's what I'd like for you to do. Whatever seems to be expedient, just do that. It seems to be, yes. So with all of that said, I think I will just fade away into the mist and be a part of the ethosphere once again as I go off into oblivion. That's how this works. Kind of like the fog. Yeah, possibly a show tonight, maybe. If there's a show tonight, it's going to be live. Or mostly live. Partially live, or at least live and recorded in some way, in some fashion. Might even be a video. Who knows, on Rumble. I might start doing the Rumble thing again. I might see how that platform works. In the meantime, pray for the nation. Pray for each other. Pray for our leaders. Pray that justice will be served to those who deserve it. That's a biggie right there. God bless everybody. Have a great day. I will definitely be on here tomorrow morning if I can be. And that's all I can say about that. God bless everybody.